Now, one of the interesting things about travel is, of course, is that you get various kinds of different newspapers on the stalls in the cities you visit or in the shops, and of course on the planes. And it's always something of a fascination to pick up a foreign newspaper. That is, providing it's in English. Well, of course, away back in England, we have all sorts of papers, and some of you who have visited the old country, you may remember some of them. My favourite paper there, of course, is the Daily Telegraph. But not everybody is happy with that one, and they'll buy others. But then, of course, recently we've been in Malaysia and in Singapore. And Singapore, they have a newspaper called the Straits Times, and Malaysia, to do one better, have a paper called the New Straits Times. But then, of course, when you come to Australia, you've got to get used to the Sydney Morning Herald all over again. And what is it? There's that other one, the Australian. Well, even English people, I guess, can read that. But thinking of newspapers, you know, we're rather doubtful about the record of newspapers and the news. Some of us who have been reported in the newspapers, I happen to be one of them, you know, if you have an interview, and you might spend as much as 40 minutes with a reporter, you know, what you see in the paper the next day is really something to cause you dismay. And you think, well, if everybody else's story is recorded like that, what can we believe in the newspapers? Have you ever felt like that? I tell you what you can believe in the newspapers. Two columns. One concerning the facts of birth, the births, and the other, the facts concerning deaths. Whatever happens in between, and however it may be reported by our fellow men, there are these two facts, birth and death, and the things concerning them, which remain, and you can't exactly alter birth or death. Now, it's very interesting that when we come to the reliable book of all history that is stamped with the very authority of the God of eternity, we come to the Bible. You know, the Bible is full of births and deaths and has a lot to say about how we should live our lives in between. And our first reading this evening is going to have to do, first of all, with birth, and then with death. And a very shrewd and careful observer of these phenomena was the man called Solomon. And he was given the very wisdom of God. Interesting then to read what he said. I'm going to read to you from one of his books. He wrote several writings recorded in the Holy Scriptures, and we're going to look now at chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes. If you do have a Bible with you, by all means, look it up. We're going to read verse 5 of this chapter, chapter 11 of Solomon's book entitled The Ecclesiastes. This is what it says. Very interesting. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. What a statement about birth in the Bible. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. But Solomon had words to say too about death. And we find these over in Ecclesiastes, perhaps starting at the end of chapter 11 and going on into chapter 12. One of the very beautiful passages of the Old Testament. Verse 9 of the 11th chapter still, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thine youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." Verse 1 of chapter 12, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few. Those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street." So may God bless to us these opening readings on the great facts of birth and death. Now our second reading is from John chapter 3, first of all, where we read about birth again. The words, of course, are familiar, the words of the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus. And he says unto him in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, even of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That is a wonderful fact about birth. New birth. Now let's look at one more scripture that has to do with death. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 26. The middle of the verse. "Now once in the end of the age hath Christ appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Now may God bless to us these readings about birth and death. Now, I've already been on tour preaching the Word of God for quite a while. I left the UK in March, about the 16th, and went out by air to Singapore and on to Kuala Lumpur. And there, in a land where there is a certain amount of ferment at the moment, a certain amount of contention between the government and certain political parties, and even Christians, I sought to witness for the Lord Jesus. Mercifully, I was able to come down to Kuala Lumpur about a month later without any interference by the government, but It's very easy to get fined or even imprisoned, and especially if you are a Malay Christian seeking to win other Malays to Christ. And then, having got to Singapore, my wife, who's with me here this evening, she came out and joined me there, and we've just had about 5 weeks of speaking to some of the Christians there. Some of the congregations are really quite large. And many, many people have trusted the Lord Jesus of recent years in that populous city. And then just the other day, we arrived, in fact on Wednesday, at Sydney Airport, and stepping through the puddles and through the renovations that are going on, we eventually got through the customs, and we arrived in the Sydney area to meet our friends, and we've met many of you already. This is a great privilege to be able to move in the preaching and teaching of God's Word and to see people blessed and lives changed and churches strengthened. And it really shows to us that God saves people from their sins through the work of Christ, through the power of His Spirit, and that God can make a person a new person. A new creation. Not a better person, but a new person. As we sometimes say with the young ones, it's not that God gives you a new start, He gives you a new heart. It's not that you have to turn over a new leaf, you have to receive a new life in Christ Jesus. Now, whilst we've been doing this work and touring in these lands, you know, we have had news about a birth. And we've also attended a funeral. You see, these are the great facts of life, if you can say that, about birth and death. You see, one morning when we were there staying with some Chinese friends in Singapore, my dear host, who worked very hard, leaving his home about 6:30 in the morning and not getting back sometimes perhaps till 7:00 at night, he was suddenly waken up early before light, and he came tearing through to our bedroom and knocked on the door, and he had a phone in his hand with his long wire, and he said, "It's from Alistair." That's our third son, married now about 2.5 years, and we talked to Alistair on the phone, and he said, "We've got a baby daughter." Thrilled to bits because it's their very first child. It's always thrilling though, isn't it? And we had to know about the colour of the eyes and the colour of the hair, and and even about, I think, a dimple. I can't just remember whether it was in the cheeks or in the chin, but it was all very precious. And I think we were all near to tears, and we were so glad for his wife Ruth that the little one had come safely and that she was all right and things were fine. You know, it takes me back many years to when my wife and I were here in Sydney, staying at Queenscliff Manly, way back in 1956. And our first little baby was born here in your city. And after my wife had been safely delivered of the child, and we were both, of course, a lot younger than we are now, you know, I drove eventually away from the hospital and away out to the Manly beach. And those lovely tropical fir trees, I think you call them casuarinas. And I just stood there and looked at the rolling surf. And it was with some emotion that the thoughts rolled through my heart and mind with a kind of power that came from God. And I thought, the one who is master of the surf and the rolling wave, He holds my tiny little baby in His hands. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, birth? And you know, the interesting thing is about it that our Lord Jesus, the Son of the living God, not only gives life to a human individual and causes them to be born, but he who is the life came into this world, and though his generation was eternal, the eternal Son of the eternal Father, yet he entered the womb of the Virgin Mary, took up the body that God his Father had prepared by the Spirit, and he was actually born. So you see, the Lord we preach not only knows about death, but he knows about life. And he knows about birth. Not simply because of his omniscience, his all-knowing as God, but because of his experience. He who emerged from the tomb knows what it is to emerge from the womb. And do you know what the Bible says about that? Oh, it's a historical fact. Totally reliable. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came. That's history. But then it goes on to say that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Some people would say that's theology, but it's more than theology. It's good news to you personally. Because the Bible tells you and tells me, and your own heart and your own conscience, and indeed the Spirit of God tells you and tells me, that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It tells us that we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So sin is there in our very nature from birth. But this same word of God tells us that the wages of sin is death. That the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So, from birth to death, we are sinners. And we are sinning. And we need a Savior. And who can save sinners? The Bible tells us Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You might ask, does that mean he came into the world to save me? Exactly. He came into the world to save you. Isn't that wonderful? You say, how did he do it? Well, he does it by bearing your punishment. Instead, the perfect man, bearing the sinner's load and exhausting the penalty in the law courts of God. Let me tell you a story about my time in the prisons of Red China. I went away up through China, you know. First of all, in 1947 to Jiangxi, one of the central provinces. And then later on, after I'd learned some Chinese, away up to the west of China, up through the mountains onto the great Central Asian plateau, through the town of Kanding, where I learned some Tibetan also, and then eventually, right away into the interior, in the very high country, and I was away in Markham Gartok, inside Tibet as a Christian missionary, when the communist armies of China built up and then swept across the Golden Sand River, the upper reaches of the Yangtze, into Tibet. When they found me there, they didn't like the idea at all. They arrested me. They felt I must be some British agent. And I was kept for more than 3 years in captivity. When they brought me down to a rear headquarter town called Batang, they put me into a dark and dirty cell underneath the big buildings of the fortress. It was quite small, really, just a few paces this way and a few paces that. On the floor it was just dust and sand, and dark most of the 24 hours. Sometimes I was interrogated. Sometimes I was allowed to exercise with soldiers. But otherwise, I was alone in the cell. And yet, not alone, of course. Because though I was in communist hands, essentially, I was in the hands of the Lord. And as Paul often puts it, he was in Roman hands. But he says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I was in the hands of the Lord in the dark cell. And you know, after the first trauma of being arrested, and I don't know how many of you have ever been arrested, but it's quite a trauma, I can tell you. Suddenly you're apart from the rest of humanity. And there, in that cell, I began to think in the quietness. And eventually, after I could turn my head, as it were, away from my surroundings and think, I began to think about the Lord Jesus. And you know, I began to think of how he came. Christ Jesus came. Now, of course, you're in this room tonight, but you came into this room. You say, yes, that's right, I was outside. So was the Lord Jesus. He was outside the world in a very real sense. He was in the bosom of the Father. But then he came in.
Please turn the tape over at this point.
But then he came in. Came in through the door of humanity and the door of the law and the door of prophecy. He came as it was written of him, and he went as it was written of him. And suddenly there in the arms of young Mary in the stable at Bethlehem was this little baby boy. And do you know what the Bible says about him? This little one. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. A divine revelation of the person and nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. They called his name Jesus. Those that confess him call him Lord. And I began to think about this. And, you know, suddenly it came over me in a fresh sense of sheer wonder. There in the darkness and loneliness of the cell. Began to think. He filled all things. He made all things. He sustains all things. The eternal Son of the ever-living God. All things were made by him. And there's not a thing that was made that he didn't make. And you know, as I thought of that, and here he is, contained in this little baby boy, I thought of his tiny fingers. Why his fingers put the stars in the sky. Now they could only curl around his mother's finger. Thought of his little feet. He could stride the heavens by his mighty name, Jehovah Jah. The psalmists tell us all about it. And yet, those little feet, they hadn't learned to walk yet. And those little eyes. Why, it says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout all the earth. And yet, had they focused yet on the rugged roof of the stable room? I began to think about him. Emmanuel. That's his spiritual name. God. With us. Yes, truly man. But not partly God or partly man. But very God. And very man, yet one unique personality, that you and I might meet our God in him, the man, Christ Jesus, the one mediator between God and man. And as I thought of him, and I thought of my own tiny place, I felt it hemmed in, hedged about, these walls. And then I thought, but he knows the vast expanses of the universe. He even transcends them and was prior to them. And yet, here he is in this little baby boy. This is he, the great I Am, become our great contemporary. The Ancient of Days become an infant of our day. And I began to realize in a new way that this one who came into the world to save sinners and who saved me, he knew all about me. Not simply because he knows everything, and that's wonderful, but because he feels everything. Not only because he's God, but because he's man. Do you want someone who will understand you? Or you say, nobody understands me. Well, maybe they don't. But Jesus, our Lord and Savior, he understands. He who made you. Oh yes, you're in a fallen world. You have partaken, say, of fallen humanity. We all have. Oh, we have our sins. We have our problems. But he understands us. Because he's not only divine, but he's human. He's had to make ends meet here. Upon whom the whole ends of the universe depend. He has had to fashion daily articles for use for the villagers of Nazareth. And yet, there's not a globe in its place in the sky, not a nebula, not a constellation that is not upholden by his power. He knows what it is to be with brothers and sisters. We read about that in Mark chapter 6. He loved friends, and he had friends. But he knows what it is to be let down by friends, and to be despised by his own people, and even crucified for the truth. And yet he loved us still, so much that his death was for us. He came into the world, you see, to save sinners. And he wants you to say thank you, to trust him, to receive him. Because you see, he was not only born, but he died. And the great facts of his birth and death are crowned with his resurrection, the first man out and the first man in, out from amongst the dead, into the presence of God in his own virtue and righteousness. But it was for our sins he died. You're not going to live, are you, as if he never came, as if he were never born, as if he never died, as if he never rose from the dead, as if he never was ascended to the right hand of God to be a prince and a savior to those who repent from sin and believe on him as their only Lord and Savior? You're not going to live as if God didn't love you, with a chip on your shoulder, day in, day out, night in, night out. There is someone who can make you a new person. First of all, make you clean. And then make you new. And when you receive him, you are born again. And just as his death was your death, so his life becomes your life. And you live by him. And those who have his life, though death destroy this body, he is able to say, you will never die. And the full force of that surely is that those that trust him receive Christ's own eternal life against which death has no power at all. Well, I said that we had news of a birth. But I also said that we attended a funeral. And this brings us back to the thought of death. Time to be born. Time to die. Time to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. You know that. And that's what the Bible says. And when we arrived on Wednesday, our host over there in Hurstville said to us, now there's a funeral tomorrow. I don't know whether you'd like to come. I don't know whether you knew our brother in Christ, Arthur Flack, missionary to India. I said, I think I met him in Bombay years ago. And we went up through the mountains. We know them well, really, the Blue Mountains. Up through the magnificent country of Katoomba and the great bowl of the hills and the haze from the gum trees and those ridges that never seem to change through the years. And then over the top, beyond Mount Victoria and down the winding road, such a big road now, until at last we came to the environs of Lithgow. And it was a lovely service. And they were very brave. And we talked to his widow. Faithful man of God, who'd served the Lord and influenced many, many youngsters through the school there, the Clarence School at Bangalore. Poured out his life for Jesus Christ, his Lord. And then one day he went out with the young folk and climbed a hill. I think perhaps it was one of his favorite walks through the bush. And they reached the height. And then it was as if the Lord Jesus said, don't trouble to go back down. I want you to walk on with me. And he took him to himself on the hilltop. He just went on climbing with his Lord. And the body, the shell, the temple that had housed his spirit, a vessel of the Holy Spirit, slumped against the tree. And we buried the mortal remains of a true man of God. Yes, just the other day. Then we went out to that hillside where the grave was. And they lowered the coffin. And I looked away to that lovely valley outside of Lithgow. To me, a lovely little piece of Australia. The far distant pasture land. And the scattered gum trees. The silence of the hills. And yet it was triumphant, you know. For we know that though we be sown in incorruption, we shall be raised incorruptible. And though we be sown in weakness, we shall be raised in honor. We shall be brought to the everlasting kingdom and glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Death is robbed of its power. I know that by personal experience. Will you come away as we move to the close of our little talk with me again back through the years? I was a missionary too, you see, out in China and Tibet. And when those communists arrested me and they took me away to that prison in the hills there, oh yes, there were sweet thoughts of the Savior that God gave to me and strengthened me. And I knew my Lord understood my predicament. And my heart was calmed by his presence. But one day when I was allowed to go out between two guards, out there in the open courtyard, one of the communist officials of the so-called People's Liberation Army came to me and he said to me, now we've caught some of you foreigners. And he said, some of you we're going to give 3 years imprisonment. Some of you, he said, we're going to give 10 years. And he said, some of you we're going to execute. And he sent me back into the dark cell. There must have been thousands and thousands of people executed in the big blood purges following the military success of the revolution, of the Communist Party. I didn't know what would happen to me, but I know it gripped me. And when I went back into the gloomy cell, I just fell on my knees in the dust, and it was dust. And I was more or less trembling, you know. And I thought, are they really going to do it? Take me outside this old walled city one morning and shoot me, and my father and mother not even know when I died. And I began to grip that little life of mine as if I was physically taking hold of it. And I thought, I can't die at 29. But sometimes people do. Then I began to think about the Lord Jesus, about the God who loved me. And I began to pray and to talk with him. And soon the mighty love of God was sweeping over me. You see, he loved me so much that he gave his son to die for me. And the Lord Jesus loved me so much that he gave himself for me. And he was arrested. He was falsely accused. He was given a travesty of a trial. He was politically arraigned before Pilate's Roman court. And then he was hounded out from that place and through the prison yard and that awful instrument of execution, the cross, heaped on his back. The Bible calls it a tree. And away out beyond the gate he went, and up the skull-faced rock and under the darkening sky, having nailed him to that wood, they lifted him up. And it's been said that when he was born, God put a star in the sky. But when he died, God blotted out the sun. Yes. And you know, I was touched and moved and deeply affected. And through my soul there swept the great consciousness that I was in the hands of the Lord who died for me. Blessed sepulchre, blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, yes, blessed rather be the man who there was put to shame for me. What a blessing. And I knew that whether I lived or whether I died, nothing would snatch me from his hand. No demon, no devil, no angel. I was kept by the power of God. I would be revealed in the righteousness of Christ at the last day. I knew I was safe in the hand of Jesus, my Lord. And you know, suddenly, the peace of God that passes all understanding filled my heart, and it didn't matter about dying anymore. My life was hid with Christ in God. I had been born, but by his grace I had been born again. I might die, yet there was a sense in which I would live again, and death would be nothing because of his victory. And I rose from my feet and walked up and down in that dirty cell in the gloom. And I don't know what the communist guard thought about it, but probably one or two even heard me, but I rather think I sang and sang out loud these lovely words. Words of fresh dedication. I wonder if you know them. Out there amongst the hills, my Savior died, pierced by those cruel nails, was crucified. Lord Jesus, thou hast done all this for me. Henceforward, I would live on for thee. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to be born again, and it's now. when the Lord Jesus comes. Whether you have died or whether you are alive and remain, the fact is, you will never die again. You see, when we have the eternal in our heart, we can never be destroyed. Do you know what a Christian is? A Christian is a person into whose heart Christ has come to dwell. He is the life. And when you have the Son of God, you have the life of the Son of God in you. That's what it means to be converted, to be saved, to be born again, to be made a new person, turning from sin, trusting in Christ, confessing Him as the Lord who died and rose again for you, and so into the everlasting arms of the Savior. You know, in that graveyard up there on the hills at Lithgow, as I was walking away back to the hall, I noticed a little sparrow. I think it was a sparrow. Maybe your sparrows are different from ours. But I think it was a sparrow. It was dead in the grass. And I thought, yes, the Lord Jesus said, not one of them falls to the ground without your heavenly Father. He holds it, you see, as it dies. Just like He held Arthur Flack as he died on the hilltop. In whose hands will you be held when you die? Will you be in the hands of the devil? Or will you be in the hands of the Lord? You know what the Father said to the Son? He says, I'm well pleased in you. Do you know what the Son said to the Father when he died? Father, into thine hand I commend my spirit. Would you like to pray that now? Father, because of what the Lord Jesus has done for me, I confess my sin. I receive Him as my Lord and Savior. Here I am. Father, into your hands. Into your hands. Oh, I can tell you, on the authority of God's word, He will never, never let you go. Never. You're safe there. You'll be all right there. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it will bring you into the courts of the Lord forever.